Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Joseph Lindsley is in Ukraine. Let's check in and find out what's going on this morning. Hello to you, Joe. What's the latest?
Bob, great to speak with you again. Good afternoon from Kharkiv, which I call the edge of the free world, just about 30 miles from Russia. And every now and then we hear some shelling. At first, I want to say, like, you know, especially, I don't know, there's a dark mood around Ukraine today. We have power here in this city, but I hear from friends in Lviv, they have rolling blackouts. You know, this the constant sort of fear you have to reckon with here. But I really appreciate being able to speak on your show. It's a lifeline, not just for me, but for all the people on our team and all the Ukrainians I know, to know that people in America are listening. It makes a big difference. It really does.
Well, we're glad to help in any way we can. I was very concerned when I read about law enforcement officers in some regions starting today beginning what they call selective preventive checks of citizens' mobile phones. What's that all about? Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't. You mean within Ukraine?
Right, exactly. Uh-huh.
I don't know anything about this. So it would come as a surprise because, I mean, that's, yeah, I would say in the first weeks of the war, you know, everyone was, you know, wondering if there was anyone around you who you had never seen before. People were skeptical and people were, you know, there was, if someone saw someone taking photos, you know, citizens would say, can I see your phone? What are you taking pictures of? That was in the beginning of the war. But now there's such an amazing atmosphere of trust. So I haven't heard this, but I can look into it and talk to you about it tomorrow. I mean, I remember I told you that story from the summertime when I got off my train at a layover in Nikopol. And I missed the connection, and my luggage was still in the train. And, you know, in America, they'd probably blow it up. You know, they'd stop the train and get some dogs. But here in Ukraine, even in wartime, there's such an atmosphere of trust. So I'll look into it, but I have not heard about that yet.
I guess tomorrow we'll also be talking about whatever Putin talks about today. He's supposed to deliver what they describe as an extensive speech followed by a discussion at a think tank and discussion forum in Moscow. So who knows what we'll be hearing today.
Well, I mean, and the most recent rhetoric from the Kremlin, as it gets crazier in a way, both the Kremlin and the Orthodox Patriarch of the Moscow Orthodox Church are now saying that their goal is not simply denazification of Ukraine, but and it's hard to pronounce this word, the de-Satan, to unsatanize Ukraine. So basically saying Ukraine is possessed by Satan, and this is their mission now. This comes from originally from the Assistant Secretary of the Security Council of the Russian Federation. And, you know, what we see once again is, you know, Russia saying the complete opposite of the truth. I mean, so Russia is saying they're fighting Satanists. I think they need to obviously look inward. You know, it's the state controlled church. The priests have blessed this war. They've blessed the attacks on civilians. And for example, like and this is in the news again today, the city of Bakhmut, which I visited, you know, I guess in June, the Russians have pounded this little city almost every day since June, and they've been unable to occupy it. But I mean, that's diabolical. You know, what is it that drives you so much to just to take this one example of this city, but also the city of Nikopol, and just to pound civilian buildings every single day and night going back to June? And it's like some kind of weird sacrifice. So if anything is satanic, I think, you know, obviously we have to look to Moscow. And you know, and here's the other, here's where Putin's propaganda is smart in a way, because he puts these things into people's minds, even if they don't believe it. It's the same with the nuclear rhetoric. You know, now everyone's talking about nuclear every time he mentions it. And I'm guilty of that too. You know, I'm sort of playing into it by talking about it. But I want to say, you know, in the face of this rhetoric about Ukraine's national identity, you know, Ukraine is a pretty religious country. You know, there's tradition. It's very important to Ukrainians, whether you're Jewish or Christian. You know, these things are woven into modern life in Ukraine. And you know, before the war, the cities were safe, and they still are outside of air alarms. You know, they're safe. There's not much crime. It's a pleasant place to be. Even the language does not have, you know, harsh swear words. If you want to swear in Ukrainian, you have to speak English, Polish, or Russian. And so I think Ukraine is sort of the free society that many Americans, especially these conservative Americans who seem to support Russia, it's a society that they actually would really appreciate. But I think it's, maybe they don't know about it. But the other thing is that these, like, tradition and religion and their culture, it's foreign to Americans because it's not polemical. No one's arguing about it. There's not fierce battles about these things. It's just a part of life. Accept it. And so I think it's hard for Americans to appreciate that. And I think the Russian propagandists know that. I think they know that they can put out these ideas and get, you know, and they're starting to chip away, as we see, and convince more and more Americans that, okay, we got to, you know, back away from Ukraine. And so in the face of that, I want to say, you know, as people, if you try to understand Ukraine more, you'll see that maybe this is quite an amazingly pleasant society, a great democracy, and where family values and tradition really matter a lot.
It seems that every day we speak, Joseph, you give us another reason to appreciate the people there in Ukraine. And as a student of history, I'm sure you'll have something to say about this. I was reading the other day that Putin doesn't have pictures behind his office desk of Stalin or any recent leaders. He's got a giant photo of Peter the Great.
Oh, and interestingly, you know, Angela Merkel, who, you know, some would say appeased Putin in return for oil and gas deals, she had a picture of Catherine the Great on her desk. Catherine the Great was a native of Germany. But and so, yes, it seems that Putin does, you know, have this idea that he, you know, this maniacal idea that he is, you know, restoring the Russian Empire. And that's, you know, every time we hear that this is about NATO and all that. No, I mean, really, it's you know, it is a long tradition of Russians trying to destroy Ukraine. Because it was they were the people the Russians could not conquer. And it seems that Putin has set that out as a goal for himself.
And one more thing, talking about history, you'll love this text from a listener, Joseph. Joseph is channeling Edward R. Murrow on a London rooftop during the Blitz. And that, as I'm sure, in response to your report last week when during the air raids you were up on the roof of that building. People were impressed.
I did it for your audience and fortunately survived. But you know, we have to be the eyes here. No, I was last night at sort of a secret bar in the city of Kharkiv, and just to give you a little taste of what it's like here, the owner of the place told me that there are three types of people willing to be in Kharkiv right now, so close to Russia: soldiers, volunteers, and freaks. And he said, usually that overlaps, so I'll leave it up to the audience to determine what I am by being here. But mainly it's because it's you know, I mean, it is sort of post-apocalyptic, to joke about it. But on the real level, I'm surrounded by people who fiercely believe in this idea of freedom, and they're not afraid to come here to the edge of the free world and to share that with people around the world, such as your audience.
You're brave. That's all I know. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Appreciate, as always, the education and the reporting. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.